Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live radio call-in talk show. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition at KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, content, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this program may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. I'll give you the number to call in, and we would appreciate your calls, your comments, or your questions, whatever they may be, 254-445-2473, or you can email us at kexpurecountry.com, and when you get there, you can click on the Harris-Clark at kexpurecountry.com, and you can write in your questions or your comments there. And also, we have the kexpurecountry at rocketmail.com. It's still available and open for everyone. And so please call in. We would love to hear from you. I have here with me tonight Kerry Clark. He's the co-host of this program, and we want you to take your Bibles, if it is at all possible, and read with us. We're going through the book of Mark, and we're taking questions from the book of Mark, good questions, and the Bible is just full of questions and answers, and that's the way we understand, that's the way we learn, by asking questions and asking answers or giving answers. And we want biblical answers. And all the way through this program, the Harrison Clark Expedition, we have always said, you've heard what men said, now let's listen and hear what the Bible has to say. And that's all we want to do, is put out there what the Bible has to say about things. And we have been studying about Jesus. And what started us and what prompted us to go to the book of Mark is the question that was asked back in the book of Matthew, back in the Gospel of Matthew, by Jesus. He asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they answered, "Some say you are Elijah, some say Jeremiah, John the Baptist, or one of the other prophets." And he says, "Yes, but whom do you say that I am?" And they told him, "You are Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, the problem with the disciples or the men that they were quoting was the fact that there were a lot of different opinions as to who Jesus Christ was. But only through the Word of God can we know who and what Jesus Christ was and what he did here on this earth. And so we have asked questions in each one of the chapters, and we have gone through, we have seen Jesus, our dearest friend, Mark chapter 5, Jesus, a man of peace, in Mark chapter 6, and that's where we stopped last week. And this week we're going to look at Jesus, he a man who has done all things well. And we look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 37, which says simply this, he has done all things well. Now, we're going to leave that for just a moment, because last week at the end of our program, we had one of our young men listeners over in Iraq that is fighting to maintain the freedom here in this United States of America. And he emailed a question, and we ran out of time. We didn't want to cheat him out of his time here. And so we're going to go back to that question, and I'm going to turn this back over to Kerry. He's going to read the question, and we're going to give this young man an answer according to what the Bible has to say. And so, Kerry, if you will, why don't you take over here and read the question and get us introduced to our listener over there in Iraq.
Well, if you remember, when we were studying together last week, we were talking about Jesus as a man of peace, and we pointed out that we have a false concept of what peace really is. And we pointed out that the true concept of peace is peace between God and man. And that's what Jesus came to bring. Jesus didn't come necessarily to stop wars among people. Jesus came, of course, that would be a side effect of his gospel, but Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. And so we were talking about the fact that Jesus did tell us that in one instance, in Matthew chapter 10, he said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." And so we were building upon that, and we brought out last week that in our Congress and in our representatives, there is a bill that is proposed called ENDA, which is Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And in that act, it said you cannot be... hire somebody or not hire somebody on the basis of their sexual preference, their sexual identity, among other things. And so we pointed out that we as God's people today, according to Ephesians chapter 6, are in a spiritual warfare with those that are in positions of authority, just like those that are trying to pass this idea of Inda. So we talked about homosexuality, how it is condemned in the Word of God. And the question is that homosexuality is nothing new to mankind. It's been around since the days before Lot. It seems to go through cycles on how much it's accepted. In the Middle East, it is rampant, but is not talked about and not really an outward known fact, but it goes on all the time. Now, here's the question. That was the comments leading up to the question. Now, here's the question. Have other nations had a history of homosexuality being pushed before, and how does this seem to be a reoccurring theme in history? Well, the young man is absolutely right. When you begin to study the Bible, you go back almost to the very beginning of the creation, and you find that homosexuality has indeed been a problem. You can go to the book of Genesis. You can go to chapter 18 and chapter 19. You find the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, how God destroyed those cities because of their sexual immorality. As a matter of fact, it was not uncommon in past to hear about laws about sodomy and sodomites and things along that nature. And so, yes, homosexuality has been around for a long time. And as a matter of fact, it is a reoccurring theme in history. And there are times when homosexuality has actually been presented as if it is normal. Now, the Bible in the New Testament deals specifically with two basic cultures. You've got the Roman culture, and predating that, you have the Grecian culture. The city of Corinth was a Grecian city that had been conquered by the Romans. And you remember that in Corinth, there was a place of worship for a so-called goddess, Aphrodite. And in this temple, the Bible says, or at least secular history tells us, that there were 1,000 prostitutes, 500 of them male, 500 of them female. A part of that worship involved idolatry and homosexuality. The Roman Empire had the very same idea. And it's interesting that if you study the history of Rome, there is a book by Edward Gibbon, who wrote a book called The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and he basically said five things happened that brought about the destruction of the Roman Empire. He says, number one, the rapid increase of divorce. He said this undermined the dignity and the sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. Secondly, he said higher and higher taxes and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace. Now, David, does that sound familiar in our culture right now?
It seems a little bit repetitive.
Number three, he said the mad craze for pleasure and the sports became every year more exciting and more brutal. And then number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, the decadence of the people. And then number five, folks, this is what we're going to talk about, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form, it lost touch with reality, and it became impotent to warn and guide the people. Now, David, that's what secular history says. What does the Word of God have to say? Well, friends, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and by the way, David and I have a lot of verses that are going to deal with the problem of homosexuality in the Word of God. It's condemned beginning under the law of Moses. It even predates the condemnation under the law of Moses with God in Sodom and Gomorrah. Condemned under the law of Moses. Condemned today under the New Testament. And let's see what the New Testament says about this. Romans chapter 1. I wish we had time to read more of this, but it says in verse number 21 that people knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. They weren't thankful. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise when they were in reality fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now listen to this, friends. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, Romans 1. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or proper. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, watch this, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, they were covenant breakers, without natural affection, they were implacable, in other words, they couldn't be satisfied, they were unmerciful. Now listen to verse 32, folks, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. David, very clearly, under the Roman Empire, there was a push to accept homosexuality, and it began in what we would call the upper echelon of society.
Right.
Nero, who was one of the Caesars, was, according to secular history, a practicing homosexual. And he forced that throughout the Roman Empire. It was very common under Roman Empire, very common in the Grecian society.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the questionnaire or the questioner sent in a good comment. There's been a push for a long time to accept homosexuality. And David, the Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 34 that righteousness will exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Absolutely.
David, we have in our society a push to accept homosexuality. It's nothing new. Been around almost since the beginning of time. But David, we're here as gospel preachers to stand in the gap and fight against that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And what we see today, it has become so socially acceptable, Kerry. And by the way, this is a call-in talk show, 254-445-2473. Please call in with your comments. If you disagree, let us know. If you don't disagree, well, let us know again. They're calling for a break already. It seemed like we just now got started, but we'll be listening for your calls. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break, and we'll pick up right where we left off.
Folks, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition as we journey through the Bible together. We're talking about a question that was raised last week on our radio program. And the question basically summed up, said that there had been homosexuality around for a long time. But were there other nations in history that it had in the leaders, in the rulers, a push for homosexuality? And what did that do to those societies? And has this been a reoccurring theme in history? And by the way, we appreciate this comment. It came all the way from Iraq, so we're glad to have, as David mentioned earlier, our young men and women in the armed forces listening to our program. We pointed this out last week, and I'll say it again. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. And we were talking about how the Bible condemns homosexuality. And I read from Romans chapter 1, and I got down to verse 32, that said those people that do those things are worthy of death. And not only those that do them, but those that enjoy it. And I think David has a comment that he would like to add to that.
Right. Well, you know, the questioner, he wanted to know, are there other nations in the past who have pushed this agenda? And the answer to that is yes, and I think you covered that very well just a moment ago. It is through the Roman Empire mainly that we see this. And as the email said, by the way, we're call-in talk show, 254-445-2473. You should know that by heart by now, keqx@rocketmail.com or keqxpurecountry.com, and click on Harrison Clark at keqxpurecountry.com. And we'll take your emails. But the email that came in wanted to know were there other nations that had pushed this. And one of the common denominators of all of these nations that have pushed this is that it comes from the top.
Yeah.
It comes from the top, and it filters down, and laws are made, and people are exposed to these kind of things until finally it's just, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But it used to be a big deal. We are sliding and deteriorating in a country today because of a lack of respect for God's Word.
Amen.
There is no such thing as morality outside of God's Word.
That's right.
If there is morality, it's because of God's Word.
That's it.
And so we have taken God's Word out of the way. Our nation is slipping deeper and deeper and deeper into an immoral slump. And I think all of it's come about because people don't want to hear what God has to say about whatever it is that they're doing. And so from the very top, we have, in these nations that have pushed this homosexual agenda, from the very top we have had nations that have come across and made laws and pushed this agenda on the other people until they finally become calloused to the fact that it's actually before their face. Right now, Kerry, I would dare say that on any given night, you could see a homosexual relationship on primetime television
and
right. somebody's living room.
That's right.
And not even just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You turn it on a channel trying to look at something that is wholesome for the family, and now you have invited homosexual behavior right into your own living room. And it's just nearly impossible to ferret all of that stuff out and even watch television. It's an immoral aspect of our society that sadly has become an accepted part of our society when God said it is an absolute abomination.
You know, David, and not only that, and we had a caller last week named Steve who called in, and Steve mentioned that it's not just the homosexuality. There has been a gradual acceptance of things that in the past our society looked down on. I remember one of my great uncles was a severe alcoholic, and that was frowned upon in our society. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't want to see that. We didn't want our children to see that. But we now have gradually accepted alcohol. It's a common part of America. And yet it's condemned in the Word of God. The drinking of alcoholic beverage, condemned in the Word of God. Smoking, we could go through a list of things. We have dumbed down ourselves in our language. David, you and I were talking about it earlier today. By the way, give us a call at 254-445-2473. But we were talking about it today. We no longer call when someone has an adulterous relationship. You know, you've got two people that are married. One of them goes outside the marriage. Well, we call that, well, they just had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little fling, you know. We don't call it what it is. And folks, we want you to understand, we're not just jumping on the homosexual thing. There is sexual immorality in our country. When two teenagers on a dirt road commit fornication in the back of a car, that's a grievous sin in the eyes of God. But what David and I are trying to show folks is that now we have in our government a push to accept homosexuality. And so that's why we've talked about this. There are not laws that I know of, David, that are being put on the book that say, well, you know, we're going to condone adulterous relationships.
Yep.
I don't know of laws that are being forced. You know, we can't discriminate against a person because they're in an adulterous relationship. You know, who has a law like that on the books? But we want to take this grievous, repugnant sin in the eyes of God, and our officials want to make us accept that whether we like it or not.
Now, Kerry, there's in verse 32, there's a warning here, and maybe people that read this don't really understand what they're reading here, but I want you to listen very carefully, if you will. Romans chapter 1, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, that's not spiritual death, because they're already spiritually dead. This is physical death. Now, notice this, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. It's not just the people that are committing the actual grievous sin here. It's the individuals that have pleasure in them that do them.
That's right.
Those that condone it. Those that refuse to stand in the gap, as you mentioned just a moment ago. Those that refuse to stand up for what is right according to God and just say, okay, the rest of society says this is okay, I'll just have pleasure in them that do it also. And we'll just go right on our merry little way. No, friends, we are responsible, and each and every one of us are going to stand responsible for before God for what we believe, what we do, what we say, and how we act here on this earth. We are in a trial here to choose between God and Satan. And we're going to have to stand before God to make Him understand what our choice has been, and what we do is what our choice is going to be.
You know, David, and one of the things that is often mentioned in a discussion of this nature is people will say, but Jesus never personally spoke out against homosexuality. Just didn't come out and say that homosexuality was wrong. Well, friends, that is not true. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 4, Jesus said that God made them in the beginning, and He made them male and female. It has been well established, friends, that God made Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve.
Right.
That's a fact. But not only that, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, that if you believe Moses, you would believe Me. For He wrote about Me. Now watch this. But if you do not believe His writings, how will you believe My words? So we can go to Moses, and Jesus said, you need to believe His words. Moses condemned homosexuality. Jesus condemned homosexuality by saying God created one man, one woman, and they're to be together for life. So David, this old thought that Jesus, well, just didn't come out and condemn homosexuality, friends, that is not true. He did condemn homosexuality. David, you might want to add something to that.
Yeah, I do want to add something to that. You know, there's a song, and perhaps Chris can help us with the name of that song. Somebody's singing about the letters in red in the New Testament. they're singing about, it's a country song, a very popular song. It's a new song, kind of new to me anyway. And they talk about the letters in red, as if Jesus Christ is only responsible for the red letter edition of the New Testament. Now, friends, when Jesus left this world, he left inspiration. And he gathered his apostles, and he told them what they were to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were inspired. Not only that, when Jesus prayed to God in John chapter 17 and verse number 8, he told God, he says, I have given them the words that you have given unto me, and they have received them. The writers of the Bible were inspired. They were God-breathed, and they were writing the words of divinity. They were writing the words of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when we read the inspired writings of our New Testament, in passages like you just read just a moment ago, passages again in Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15, which says, for without, outside of the kingdom, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. We know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a hand in writing that.
That's right.
And when he's talking about those whoremongers, and he's talking about the sorcerers, and he's talking about the dogs, he's talking about those immoral sexually, is what he's talking about.
Well, David, you go back into the Old Testament, and you look at the term dog, as it's used by Moses, refers to a male prostitute. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, and I don't have the verse right in front of me, but I can find it if we need to, that you don't bring the price of a prostitute into the temple of God, and you don't bring the price of a dog. And that was a male prostitute, and that's what Moses was talking about in that. That's a Brooks and Dunn song. I can't think of what the title of it is right off the top of my head, but it's a Brooks and Dunn song. He talks about the letters in red. I'll think of it about midnight, and I'll give you a call.
Okay, that'll be good. That'll be good. But you know, the point being is a lot of people are sadly mistaken that they can pick up one of these red-letter editions of the New Testament and say, well, now, Jesus did not say that. He did not condemn homosexuality. Homosexuality is condemned all through the Bible, and because it is condemned all through the Bible, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, condemned it because it was condemned there.
Well, that's exactly right. And the song is I Believe.
I believe.
That's the song, Brooks and Dunn's I Believe.
I Believe. Well, that is something that is absolutely necessary for us to be in a proper relationship with God. It's not just to believe all the right things, but it is to believe in the Word of God. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my words as one that judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And every single word of this New Testament, we're going to have to stand by, Kerry.
Well, David, you're exactly right. And so give us a call, friends. We pointed out this is a call-in talk show. Give us a call, 254-445-2473. We really would love to hear from you. As David mentioned earlier, we still have the email at keqx@rocketmail.com, or you can go to keqxpurecountry.com, click on the Contact Us, go to the Harrison Clark Show, and you can send us an email through that as well. And friends, we do have a call right now. Caller, we encourage you to just go ahead and give us your first name and then your question or your comment, if you would. Caller?
Hey, this is Ted.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Just fine. How are y'all?
Good.
Great.
Good.
I was just listening to y'all a little bit ago.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I don't have any question about the homosexuality or nothing. I was just wondering about, you know, I drink about 5 beers after I get off work.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to take pain-killing pills or nothing like that for my back.
Uh-huh.
And then I may drink 5 more after that. Does that mean that, you know, I'm a bad person? Alcoholism's got a hold of me or whatever?
Well, Ted, the Bible warns against the power of alcohol. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible says that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alcohol, in reality, and Ted, I understand what you're talking about. I have back problems as well. I had to have surgery about 5 years ago on my back. Well, actually, about 4 years ago on my back. But there are prescription drugs that you can take that have more benefit than the alcohol with less side effects. You know, you're not going to get a ticket for driving down the road under the influence of Tylenol. You know, so there is the danger of alcohol that is presented in the Word of God. And in Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Now listen to verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. There is danger in what you're doing, Ted. The Bible says to stay away from alcohol because it is deadly. David?
Well, Ted, there are also several other passages that we could go to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'll allow me to read this to you, in verses 9 and 10, we need to understand as when Paul was writing this letter to the church at Corinth, these people were coming out of a very, very worldly situation, a situation not much unlike unto what many people deal with today. And these people were coming out of the world, they were coming into the church, and they were having to change. And one of the things that they had to change was the drinking. And let me just read to you in verse number 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. In other words, don't let people kid you. Don't listen to the world. Listen to what the Word of God says. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to tell that these individuals repented of those things. That means they stopped doing what they were doing. I dare say that there are other ways to take care of your back pain. But drinking is not a scriptural alternative to what you're wanting to do, Ted.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. It just makes me a lot happier that I go to church and everything for, you know,
yes, sir,
doing the things that I do. But it's just the easier way to relieve it because it's right there at the store. And the cheaper way, too. I mean, the Tylenol,
yes,
that
sir,
is not going to cure what I've got. I got 3 ruptured discs in my lower back.
Uh-huh.
And we can't afford to go to a, have surgery on them.
Yes, sir.
So that's just what we're doing right now. And 5 beers I don't get drunk on.
Uh-huh.
But after that, I've been wanting more and more.
Seeing
and that? Now I'm up to about 10 beers, and then I can fall asleep and sleep good at night.
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems we have here is your assessment of drunkenness. Your assessment of drunkenness and the Bible's assessment of drunkenness is not the same. You see, one drink is going to make you one drink drunk. 10 beers is going to make you 10 beers drunk. Now the level that the state of Texas says 0.08 is going to declare you drunk, that's not God's methods. That's not God's measurement. And being drunk according to the state of Texas, being drunk according to God, not the same thing. If it's a cheaper alternative to what you say, then you've got to ask yourself the question, what's my soul worth, Ted? Is it worth your overtime check, or is it worth your 40-hour weekly check, or what is your soul worth? There is not one single thing on the face of this earth that is as valuable as your soul is, Ted. And that is what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the spiritual aspect of this rather than the physical aspect of it. Let's get the soul right first, and then we'll take care of this physical problem that you got. Kerry?
I hear you.
Ted, I didn't read all of Proverbs 23, but it goes on to say, after it says that it bites like a serpent and it stings like an adder, that means a serpent is a poisonous snake, an adder is a poisonous snake, and it'll kill you. And he goes on to say in verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Men will say things when they're under the influence of alcohol that they had never think about saying if they were sober. And it goes on to say in verse 34 that, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. In other words, you get sick. David and I were talking about this earlier. David had to take some medication here a while back, and it caused him some problems because his body was not wanting to take that medication. The body knew that that was a foreign thing. God gave us that body, and he built in some things. Ted, the first time normally when people take a smoke, you know, a drag off cigarette that first time, they hack up their lung and they start getting dizzy headed. I remember the first, you know, I remember back when I was wild, I took a dip of Skoal, and man, it made me sick. Woo, I was sick.
Yes,
made
sir.
Me throw up, do all these things. The body was saying, you dummy, don't do that. But then I said, oh, come on, you know. So the next time it was a lot easier to do that. And if we're not careful, we train our bodies to accept things that the initial reaction from the body is to throw it up. And yet we keep forcing it. And
yes,
now listen to what it says in verse number 35. He says, they've beaten me, and I didn't feel it, and when I shall awake, he says, I will seek it yet again. Ted, you said earlier that you started out with 5, now you got to take 10. How long before it's going to be 15, 20, and you're going to have to buy a case?
I hear you.
So go ahead.
I get sick just drinking them 5 beers. Sometimes I just dry heave and puke.
Yeah.
Just putting them down.
Wow.
But I see what you're saying.
Well, focus on right.
And I know that my body's rejecting it, and yeah. We just keep on doing it. But.
Well, and Ted, there are things, you know, the government does have some good programs that maybe you can get some help. I know what you're talking about with the back problem. Before I had my surgery, my wife had to put my socks and shoes on me. I couldn't pick up my foot off the floor, you know, and I had to take some Advil and things like that, and the doctor gave me some prescription medicine. Walmart has where they can help you with prescription medicine. So our advice would be try to do it in a way that is not only legal, but try to do it in a way that's acceptable with God, and that's what we're encouraging you.
And just keep focused on Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, which says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those things which are right according to God, and these things will be added unto you. He's going to take care of us if we will seek him first, put him first in our life. Your physical life will turn itself right around, Ted. Okay. We do appreciate your call so very much. And keep listening. Keep calling. We'll be here on Monday nights.
I'll do it.
Okay, thanks a lot for your call, Ted.
Thank y'all.
Okay, it's about time for a break. We're going to go into a break right now. When we come back, we will be asking the question, who is Jesus? And we're going to answer it with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 37. We'll see you right on the other side of the break. back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk radio show, 254-445-2473. If you have a comment or a question, please call us. You can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com, or you can go to keqxpurecountry.com, hear us live on the Internet, and click on Harris-Clark at keqxpurecountry.com, and you can email us there also. We are going through the Bible, and we are standing behind our motto. You've heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. And we have been asking the question for several weeks now, going through the book of Mark, who is Jesus? And we have noted on several different occasions that even the men of the first century that knew and saw Jesus were confused about who he was. And so we're asking these things. We have covered several things. He's a man of power. He is our dearest friend. He is a man of peace. And in Mark chapter 7, in verse 37, we read something that tells us of just a little bit more about Jesus. He has done all things well. Now, the scripture here impresses upon our mind the majesty of this individual called Jesus. And Carrie, have you ever known someone who could do something well? And then, as you answer that question, ask yourself, did you ever know anyone that could do everything well?
You know, David, I think back to the time when I was in high school, and there were guys that, man, it just came natural for them. Sports, football, baseball, basketball. They didn't even have to make any effort. But then you set them down in front of a book, and they kind of struggled sometimes,
right,
with that old book learning. Yeah, I've known some people that did some things pretty good. But no, David, I've never seen anybody that everything they did exactly right, and they did it well. That's phenomenal, folks. Stop and think about Jesus. In everything he did it well.
Always pointing toward the spiritual.
That's right.
The spiritual aspects of things. When we get over here in Luke chapter 2, we read about Jesus when he was a boy who probably is approaching the age of accountability at 12 years old, and he was there in Jerusalem. And in chapter 2 and verse 46, his parents had lost him. They left him. They had to turn around and go find him. And finally, they looked all over the city. They finally found him in the temple. And verse 46 says that he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. They looked all over the place for him. And then he said, how is it that you sought me? And the implication that he gives there, this is where you should have looked first.
That's right.
Because I am concerned with the spiritual over the physical. How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And then it says there in verse 51, it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He was subject unto them as a child would be to their parents. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased, that means he grew, in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, that's the part that we want to work on right there, that part of about Jesus, how he grew in wisdom, grew in stature, grew in favor with God and man, and by the way, all the time, he did all things well.
You know, you stop and think about it. Jesus, the Bible is telling us, grew, first of all, intellectually. He grew in wisdom. Mm-hmm. No doubt Jesus was taught much by his parents. You look at history, and history tells us that the Jewish people were very concerned about education among their children. And so Jesus grew in wisdom. And the Bible says he grew in stature. He grew physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible says he grew in favor with God. Folks, that's spiritually. And Jesus grew spiritually. That's what the Bible is telling us. And then it says not only did he grow in favor with God, but also man. So he grew socially. And so, brethren and friends, you need to understand that the Bible tells us that Jesus had to learn obedience. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Oh, David, I'd like to know more about that verse of Scripture, wouldn't you?
I would too.
But now listen to this, verse number 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Friends, the only way that we can get to heaven is by being obedient to Jesus. Listen to this, like he was obedient to the Father.
Right.
Jesus grew intellectually, physically, spiritually, and socially. Now, David, of those four, the one that matters the most is the spiritual growth.
Absolutely. And as we told the caller just a moment ago, Ted, if we would all grow spiritually first and foremost.
Yes.
If we would put as much effort in growing physically as we are spiritually as we do physically, we wouldn't have near the problems in this country, near the problems in our marriages, near the problems in our personal lives, if we would just grow spiritually first and foremost. And I think it's extremely interesting here that we are told that Jesus grew in stature and favor with God and man. But in order to be in favor with God, he's got to grow spiritually.
That's right.
God's not really concerned whether I grow physically 7 feet tall or whether I grow physically 4 feet tall. He doesn't care. What he's concerned with is the soul. And when we grow spiritually, we're going to grow in the Word of God, in the knowledge of God. And that's where we get our faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when we grow in wisdom, in the wisdom of God, in the knowledge of God, we're going to grow in faith. And that's going to make us acceptable to God. But now when we grow in favor with man, it is based upon our spiritual growth and not our physical growth. Because if it were based upon our physical growth alone, then we could not be pleasing to God at all.
Yeah. You know, David, something that we didn't mention, there is a gospel meeting going on at the Bangs Church of Christ starting in just about 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
If you have the chance, run over either tonight or tomorrow night or Wednesday night and hear Brother Otho Rogers. He spoke to us today at the preacher's luncheon. Fantastic preacher. So y'all, if y'all have a chance and you're in the Bangs area, run over there for their gospel meeting and hear Brother Otho Rogers. He's an old cowboy from over in New Mexico, and I guarantee you, you're going to like the way this guy preaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, David, when you stop and think about all of this, and friends, we do have a few minutes left on our program. Give us a call at 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com or visit us on the World Wide Web. There's a link there, www.keqxpurecountry.com. Click on the Contact Us button, go to the Harrison Clark Show, and you can send us one for next week. You know, if you want to send us an email, we've got plenty. I hope God's going to give us plenty of times together in this program. But friends, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is the example for us. He set the pattern for us to follow. And friends, next week, we're going to talk about Mark chapter 8. Jesus is going to tell us, watch, and this, David, look how well this ties into our program. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to look at Jesus as being a man of proper values. And David, Jesus did everything right, and Jesus had his value system right.
Absolutely.
And we have today a problem, at least in my estimation, that we have our values and our priorities all out of whack. And friends, we've got to get back to the Word of God, see what the Word of God has to say. Jesus had the proper attitude in everything that he said and did, David.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are times when Jesus was severe in his rebuke of people. You read, friends, read Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is the Lamb of God, David, but He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus got through with those religious false teachers of His day, do you think they walked away and said, "That was the Lamb of God"?
No.
Or do you think they said, "That's the Lion of the tribe of Judah"?
They were exposed to some of the wrath, the righteous anger of Jesus.
And He was right when He did it.
Absolutely.
David.
Absolutely. Just as right as He could be. And we get back to this, how He grew in favor with God and man. And now this means there was absolutely no compromise whatsoever in Christ. Absolutely no compromise whatsoever. And when we get over here in the New Testament, the inspired writers, one of the inspired writers, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he tells us there, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." This is what we, as professed Christians, must do. We've got to follow the steps of Jesus. But, Kerry, you can't do that if you don't know what Jesus' steps were.
You know, and David, and you know this because you and I have talked about it quite often. We must make sure that what we believe is what the Bible teaches.
Absolutely.
You know, we offered a challenge here a while back. We did a track that the Cowboy Church had put out into the community, and we asked, call in and defend what you said in this track. And we didn't get a call.
Not one.
From those people that had written that track. We want you to understand what God has said. Now, David and I are not trying to be antagonistic or anything else like that, but I'm going to tell you something, friends. David and I are going to stand for the truth of the gospel, and we're not going to compromise. We're going to tell it like it is.
Now, when we look at what is written here in 1 Peter, just 1 Peter alone, where we are told to follow the steps of Jesus, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we are told there, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." And that's just an ancient way of saying, get your mind right.
That's right.
Get your mind right. And then the first thing that he says, Ted, is be sober. And that means get your self-control in control. And you cannot be in total self-control if you have an a mind-altering drug that is affecting you the way the alcohol does. So he says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that's where our hope is, and sometimes we fail to see, we get so focused on the physical that we fail to see what we're looking for, what our target out there is. Yeah. It is a home in heaven with God and Jesus and all the saints. That's what our focus ought to be. And then he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living. And so we've got to look to Christ in order to be holy in the manner of living. Now that doesn't mean that a person is got to go around and say, I'm holier than thou. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is taking God's word and making that application to our life and the way that we live. And friends, we are out of time. It would seem like we just got started. Kerry, I'm going to give you the last word. We're going to say goodbye and hope you tune in next week.
Hey, we want to say how much we appreciate everybody listening in. I know that we had some from Iraq, some from down around Houston, some up in the Metroplex, and so we appreciate you guys. We love you very much, and we'll see you next Monday night at the same time.